Wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon, wherever you may be.
Omaha! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello?
2-2, the line shot down the left field line. That ball is gone! And the Rays win it! A line drive home run by Evan Longoria.
We're on to Cincinnati.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable!
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sports.
Good afternoon, everybody. Wow. We have a lot to talk about today. There's a disaster in LA. I'm not talking about a natural disaster. I'm talking about what the LA Lakers organization is going through right now. A lot of details on that and thoughts on that. Today's Wednesday, and it is the Sports Access. I'm your host, Peter Defee. Today's Wednesday, so we will have a weird stat for you today, but first some house cleaning. If you like to watch, if you like to listen to this podcast and past shows, follow us on Twitter at @_SportsAccess. Also, we are on Stitcher, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, we are there. Just search up the Sports Access and you can find us. Just please rate and subscribe. That's how we get out to a broader audience. First of all, let's start off with some good news today. Well, sad news, but in a good sense. Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade both retired last night, both playing their final home games for their respective teams. If I'm correct, I would assume that the Heat have no chance of making it to the postseason because there's been no talks about that. So I would have to assume that today is the last time Dwayne Wade will ever put on a Heat jersey in his career, as I can try to look that up. But what a career for both of those guys. Both won a Finals MVP. Dwayne Wade was a scoring champ 1 year. Dirk Nowitzki won an MVP and revolutionized how seven-footers came into the league, and sixth all-time in scoring. Dwayne Wade, just the way he played basketball through his entire 16-year career, just he played as Flash. I mean, there's no other way to put it other than, you know, he just played like his head was on fire and like he was the fastest man on the court, which in some cases he was the fastest man on the court. And of course Wade dropped 30 points in his last game. I don't want to say very Kobe-esque, but kind of Kobe-esque. But Dirk Nowitzki, 14-time All-Star. He was an NBA champ and Finals MVP against the Heat in 2011. Of course, Dwayne Wade, a 3-times champ. He beat Dirk Nowitzki in the Mavs in 2006, so kind of traded blows. Both guys had similar careers. Both won 17 games against each other. Well, now the Heat won 18 games because they won their last meeting this year. Both won a Finals MVP. Both won a Finals against each other. Both won an MVP. So just two great careers. You know, Dirk Nowitzki, of course, 21 years with one team. Dwayne Wade, almost his entire career with the Heat, did go to the Bulls for a season and then went to the Cavs and then got traded back to the Heat midway through the season. So, but really, really a great career. I know Dwayne, it's going to be hard for Heat fans to see Dwayne Wade not be on the court. Same thing for Mavs fans, because my whole career, I'm about to turn 21 next Wednesday. If I was a Mavs fan, my whole life has just been watching Dirk Nowitzki his whole career in a Mavs uniform. Most of my life I've seen Dwayne Wade in a Heat jersey. So, you know, it's kind of hard to see them not or it's going to be hard to not see them on the court come next year. And it's a really shame. It's a real shame that they couldn't make the playoffs this year, because especially for Dwayne Wade, just to go out in the playoffs. Same thing with Dirk Nowitzki, have one last playoff run. But I know the Mavs with Kristaps Porzingis, Luka Doncic, all those guys that they have over in Dallas. It's going to be a good group of guys. They're going to get a lottery pick this year. Same thing with the Heat. They will also get a lottery pick. But, you know, sadly, those careers will have to end. Or those careers have come to an end. So, and right now, yeah. The only team that can vie for the 8th seed is the Charlotte Hornets, because the Pistons are 40 and 41. So the Miami Heat have been mathematically eliminated from playoffs. So great way to end both of their careers. But now we have to go into this. Can we say now that the Magic Johnson experiment, quote unquote, if you want to call it that, it was a failure? Because in my mind, it is. You had guys like D'Angelo Russell, who you trade away to the Brooklyn Nets, get him to a postseason for the first time since 2015, all-star this year, and probably going to be the comeback player of the year. You trade away Zubac to the Clippers, they're in the playoffs. Trade away Brook Lopez to the Milwaukee Bucks, and now all of a sudden, you know, the Bucks are probably the best team in the East and the favorites to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, if not the NBA Finals. You had the whole Anthony Davis trade fiasco where we don't know who leaked it, but basically you were going to get rid of all of your team for Anthony Davis. I talked about that in a previous podcast. You can go back and listen to that. They missed the playoffs for the 3 years that he was with the team. They're under 500. They won two more games this year than they did last year, and they had supposedly the best player on the planet in LeBron James in the lineup. All he did was miss 18 games, and they've won two more games. Trade away Julius Randle to the Pelicans. He's going off for the Pelicans. If they do decide to trade away Anthony Davis, they'll have a very good building block, in place to build around with Julius Randle. You know, the Clippers made the playoffs, so there's going to be playoffs in Staples Center, at least for the first round. But it's not going to be the LA Lakers like everybody thought it was going to be. I mean, I know obviously you got LeBron got hurt, Lonzo got hurt, Kuzma got hurt. You know, Stevenson was out for a little bit, Rondo was out for a little bit, so you didn't have your whole core together, but still, I think it's time to say that this whole Magic Johnson experience, whatever you want to call it, is a fail. And will go down as the worst 3 years that a president of whatever operations, basketball, MLB, NHL, NFL, whatever, had. Because just so many things that he wasn't able to do that he promised to the city of LA. He promised that they were going to make it back to the playoffs. Didn't make it to the playoffs in the 3 years. Promised they were going to sign LeBron, which they did, but promised they were going to sign stars around him. They didn't. Promised they were going to get stars via trade. They didn't. What they did was say, okay, all you young guys, we don't care about you. Everybody not named LeBron James, we don't care about you, including Luke Walton and the coaches, because Luke Walton, they said, has known for about a month that he's not going to be back. So everybody not named LeBron James, Magic Johnson, Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, excuse me, were safe from their jobs. You know what I want to go as far as to say is probably not even Rob Pelinka, the GM of the team. The only people that I think were safe from their jobs, and this is just my personal opinion, Jeannie Buss, because she's the owner. Magic Johnson, because he's Magic Johnson. That's the only reason why he was probably safe. And LeBron James is because he's supposedly the best player in the world still, which I think this year he was not the best player in the world. So you had three people in an organization full of hundreds of others that their job was probably safe. The custodian's job was probably not safe because they're thinking, you know what? He's not cleaning the court the right way, which is why all of our guys are getting hurt. But back to reality. This is a failed experiment, failed experience, whatever. And the fact that Magic Johnson couldn't even tell Jeannie Buss that he was quitting by himself. He was in the office prior to the game. And then he just goes down to the media and says, yeah, somebody's going to have to tell my boss because, you know, I know if I go up there and tell her, she's going to start crying. I'm going to start crying. You know, she's probably going to encourage me to stay. I probably will stay. So, you know, somebody's going to have to tell me. What do you think Jeannie Buss was doing just watching that, flipping through the channels, watching it? And now all of a sudden, that's how she learns Magic Johnson quit. And because he was saying he wasn't having fun? Because he couldn't do the things he loves. Now, granted, sports takes a lot away from you. And I know he was big in the community, especially with everything that he's been through in his life. And I get that. And I'm actually glad that he's still doing that, because a lot of athletes will do it for a little bit and then will be like, you know what? I'll let somebody else take care of that. So he's still actively out in the community fighting diseases that he's dealt with. So, you know, good for him for doing that and wanting to go back, because he said there's a lot of stuff in the community that he missed that he wasn't able to do this year because of his obligation to the Lakers. And I get that. And that's one of the good reasons. But because he wasn't having fun, because he couldn't tweet out, congratulations, Dwayne Wade, which he probably could have, because nobody's going to say he's tampering with anybody because Dwayne Wade's retiring. He couldn't say congratulations, Russell Westbrook, because that would have been tampering. So he wants to have a fun life and he wants to have his Twitter account back. That's why you're quitting? To me, if he would have just said, you know, I want to be back in the community, I've missed, you know, spending time with my family, you know, there's a lot of things that I haven't been able to give back towards the city of LA that I want to do. And just, this is taking too much. Being the Lakers president of basketball operations is taking too much away from what I think I should really be doing. That would have been not a great answer, but that would have been a better answer than, I just want to go back to having fun. And, you know, I had a beautiful life, which, you know, after everything he's gone through, he does have a beautiful life right now. Nobody has a better life probably than Magic Johnson. As far as the type of personality he is, the fame he has, obviously the money he has, everything going for him, obviously he does have a beautiful life. But to me, it just, as a Lakers fan, I listened to that press conference. I watched the press conference, It was an impromptu. The media was just there for Luke Walton, I believe, if I'm correct. They were just there for Luke Walton. And then Magic Johnson just pulls him aside and says, hey, let me talk to you for a little bit. So, you know, I don't even know how to put this in the right words, but, you know, he said he's a free bird and he's been handcuffed, and that, this whole, I want to have fun. Like, that's not a good answer to give a team, a community, a city, an organization that, you know, you still had another couple of years left on your contract. And that you promised them so many things that you didn't fulfill. In fact, you kind of went back on your promises a little bit. And me, as if I was a Laker fan, I'd feel a little betrayed right now. Like, come on, dude, you promised us a lot of stars. And granted, you got us LeBron James, the biggest star in the NBA, but where's Anthony Davis? Where's Bradley Beal? Where's Klay Thompson? Where's Kevin Durant? Where's Kyrie Irving? Where's Kevin Love? Where's Russell Westbrook? Where's Paul George? Like, come on now. Like, how are we getting better as a team when you're going to trade away all of our young guys, and you trade away D'Angelo Russell. He's an all-star now. You traded away Julius Randle, who's going to be a big building piece in the New Orleans Pelicans system. Trade away Brook Lopez. He's probably going to be playing for a chance to win a ring this year. Traded away Zubac. He's playing in the postseason this year. I got to go to Staples Center games for the LA Clippers. Not for the Los Angeles Lakers. So if I'm a Lakers fan, you know, I'm feeling a little down on myself and feeling a sense of what is this organization going to do? What are we going to do to win games? What are we going to do to help LeBron James get better? Because there's only one way he's going, and it's down. As much as people don't want to hear it, the only way for LeBron James is down. He's going to be 36, 37. I don't exactly remember how old he is, but he's going to be like 36, 37. He's not getting any more athletic. He just came off of a major groin injury. You know, he's not getting any younger. He's getting older. He's going to be 40 years old by the time this contract is done. And you're not going to sign a 40-year-old LeBron James to another four-year deal. As much as people would think, oh, LeBron James is still going to be the best. No. You're not going to sign LeBron James to a four-year deal when he's 40 years old. And actually, in my opinion, he's going to play out these next 4 years. And then when his son, LeBron James Jr., is ready to come into the NBA, because by that time, the one-and-done deal will be done, and you can just come straight out of high school. He's a freshman right now. He'll be in the NBA by that time. LeBron James is going to play a year with his son and then bounce. Like, peace out. And if LeBron James Jr. somehow, you know, say for argument's sake, gets drafted by the Suns, because they'll probably still be bad in the next 4 years, LeBron James is going to be like, peace out, LA. I'm going to Phoenix, play with my son for a year. And then I'm done. So you have 3 years of LeBron James. You probably have a year and a half of good LeBron James. And right now, the LA Lakers organization is not doing anything to uplift this roster. That whole trade fiasco where you're going to trade Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Zubac, which you already got rid of, but Stevenson, this name, that name, this person, the custodian, a water machine. You're going to trade away your whole organization for Anthony Davis. What do you think that did for the young guys? You think that told them, oh, you know what? I have to ball out because I might get traded if I don't. No, that said, oh, I'm expendable, so they don't care what I do on the basketball court. So I'm not going to care what I do on the basketball court either. I'm just going to worry about myself. So it got very divided in that locker room. And on that court, and you saw that with LeBron James not sitting next to his teammates, Rajon Rondo not sitting next to his teammates, errant passes, which I know a lot of people are going to say are just mistakes. No, it's not having chemistry, not having that connection of knowing where your teammate's going to be when you pass the ball. Like the Golden State Warriors, and I know everybody is getting tired of hearing about how good the Golden State Warriors are, but if you look at their roster, their team probably has some of the best chemistry of any NBA team. They know where each other is going to be before the person that's going to be there knows. Clay knows where Steph's going to be before Steph even knows where he's going to be. And my point is that chemistry throughout the season is big. That's what's going to get you to the playoffs. That's what's going to get you into a deep playoff run. That's what's going to help you win finals. Like the Portland Trailblazers have a pretty good team chemistry. It's just that they're a player away. So that team chemistry is getting them to the playoffs because they know how they play. They know how each other's plays. But it's just one piece away that could help them, which is causing them not to make a deep run to the playoffs. San Antonio Spurs. Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Kawhi Leonard when he was there. Well, you can take away Kawhi Leonard because he was only there for about 4 years of their prime, but Tony Parker, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili. Those three guys had the best chemistry, and they were all great players to where that lifted them to the playoffs. That team chemistry and knowing how each other works led them to deep playoff runs and also winning five championships. I think Ginobili won four. Duncan won five. I think Parker won four or five as well. But that team chemistry and knowing how to work with each other helps win championships. And that's the reason why the LA Lakers, even when LeBron was back, had so many issues on and off the court. Now, granted, some guys still had, you know, were together off the court. I know Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma were pretty good friends. They were roasting each other on Twitter, which I love seeing, because I just thought it was hysterical on Twitter, on Instagram, whatever, Snapchat. But they had their own little camaraderie. Rajon Rondo was a loner. Lance Stevenson was a loner. LeBron James had his crew. You know, all of his guys that he dealt with. Rich Paul. Now I can't think of the name that of his business partner. If you've watched his show The Shop on HBO, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But he has his little crew, and then it was Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball. You didn't really hear anything about Brandon Ingram. Rajon Rondo was really by himself the whole season. Stevenson was really by himself the whole season. They were just mercenaries that that the Lakers brought together to try to get one last run out of Stevenson and Rondo, and thought that that could possibly help them. Luke Walton was by himself because he didn't know whether he was going to get fired after the game or not. Brandon Ingram, you didn't hear a whole lot about him. I guarantee you that D'Angelo Russell is happy that he's not on the Lakers anymore. Even though the Nets aren't a flashy name, they're in the playoffs and he's having a lot more fun and having a lot better of a season than what the Lakers guys would have had. Zubac is happy to be on the Clippers because they're actually coming together. They got some team chemistry at the end, even though they traded away Tobias Harris and everybody thought they were rebuilding. Somehow they were able to come together as a team and make it into the eighth spot, even though they're probably not going to get past the Golden State Warriors. Like I said, team chemistry helps you get to the playoffs. Just go down the list real quick. In your mind, whoever's listening, just go through the list of playoff teams and think about their team chemistry. Think about how their players interact with each other. And I guarantee you, there's 16 teams that make the playoffs. I guarantee you 90% have good to great team chemistry. And if you want to, I'll just go down the list. The Warriors, great team chemistry. Nuggets, great team chemistry. Rockets, great team chemistry. Trailblazers, good team chemistry, just need a player. The Jazz, great team chemistry, just a little shaky here and there. Thunder can be a little shaky, but they still have, when they're on, when Russell Westbrook, Steven Adams, Paul George understand how they need to win that game, they have great team chemistry. The Spurs, great team chemistry, even after trading away Kawhi Leonard and adding DeMar DeRozan this year. DeMar DeRozan has been spectacular for the Spurs. LaMarcus Aldridge has been spectacular for the Spurs. They still have Greg Popovich, who knows how to deal with egos and knows how to deal with players that would be stars elsewhere. LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan were stars on their other teams. Aldridge with the Trailblazers, DeMar DeRozan with the Raptors. They were stars. Came to the Spurs, made the playoffs. The Clippers, like I said already, were able to find team chemistry after the Tobias Harris trade and come together and make the playoffs. The Bucks, great team chemistry. The Raptors, great team chemistry right now. Even though they lost DeMar DeRozan, they were still able to keep that chemistry together. 76ers are another team that could be shaky. You know, you got Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, really big alpha male type players A-type personalities that want the ball late in the games, but they still found a way to win 50 games this year with another game remaining. They're probably going to fight for a spot in the Eastern Conference Finals along with the Raptors, the Celtics, and the Bucks. So that's another team that maybe could be shaky. The only team that I could say I'm kind of not certain how their chemistry is the Celtics. Because of what happened last year, where you had Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, all of these guys, Al Horford, had a lot more playing time and were playing in bigger spots than what they have been this year, because you had Jason Hayward and Kyrie Irving back. So last year, I would say their team chemistry was great because those young guys just meshed. They just played basketball, and they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, where they were one game away from making it to the finals as rookies. But now this year, they kind of had to mesh with each other. You had Kyrie Irving didn't know if he was going to come back, so there was, you know, some skepticism as he wasn't all in on the Boston Celtics this year, so he was kind of taken out. You know, he had the thing where he called LeBron James, and I kind of thought that was a shot in the face of all of his Celtics teammates, like saying, hey, I called LeBron James and, you know, now I'm your leader, so you should be apologizing to me how you guys been playing and acting towards me this whole year. So I kind of thought that was a shot in the face. But now you're starting to see that come a little better. They're 48 and 33 right now. So that's the only team, if you think about it, that doesn't really have that great of team chemistry, I would think. Nets, like I said, have team chemistry. Magic, they know how each other play, how each other's game is. That's not really good. That is poor grammar. And I'm sorry for anybody that had to listen to that. I'm trying to think of words to say, and they're just coming out all jumbled. So, but the Pistons and the Hornets play together really great, really good. The Hornets play together really, whatever. You know, you understand what I'm saying. The team chemistry aspect of an organization, I think, is so underappreciated, undervalued, that guys just try to stock up. Teams just try to stock up on all-stars, on future Hall of Famers, on superstars, on this guy, that guy, and don't realize what it's doing to the team around them. Because the first guy off the bench is just as important as the last guy off the bench. And if the guy in the middle is saying, well, if the first guy off the bench is getting better treatment than the last guy off the bench, what kind of treatment am I getting? So it is so important to have guys understand their role and know that they can be somebody that can help this team. Unlike what the Lakers said, they basically said that Kuzma, Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, Stevenson, Rondo, all these other guys couldn't help their team win. So they're going to ship them off to the Pelicans for Anthony Davis, who they thought could help the team win. And that's, you know, make this rant a little shorter. That's what I'm getting at. Is that if you can make the guys believe, if you can make the 12th man believe that he's important to the team and he's going to help this team win and make it to the playoffs and have a deep run into the playoffs and play for a chance to win an NBA title, then you're going to have a successful season. But if the 12th guy on the bench does not care or thinks that he is not important to the team, you're going to suffer. And that's exactly what the Lakers did this year. They made those young guys and guys not named LeBron James feel like they didn't have to be there for the team to win. And made them feel like they don't want me here. They don't think I can help this team win. So that just drives your ego, your self-esteem, the way you play, that just drives it way down. And just the fact of the matter that this Magic Johnson experiment just failed because it failed to do those things. It failed to help team chemistry. It failed because of all the promises Magic Johnson brought in 2017 when he came to the organization. and it failed because of how it's going to be for the next couple of years. Because the Lakers are not going to just make the playoffs next year. They're probably going to be on the cusp of a 7 or 8 seed with a chance of not making the playoffs for a 7th straight year. And a little weird stat for you, or a little crazy stat. For the first 65 years of the Lakers organization, of their history, they missed the playoffs 5 times. They've missed the playoffs for the 6th year in a row now. In the last 6 years, they've missed the playoffs more times than they did in the first 65 years of their whole existence. So, just you know, try to think of that next time, you know, you want your team to trade away all of its young guys and all the guys that you don't think are important for a superstar. So, and that's all I'm saying. And I know that rant went a little longer than I thought, but that's just some of the NBA news. Other NBA-ish news, college news. RJ Barrett declared for the draft. Top 5 projected pick. I think in the latest mock draft, they had him going 3rd to the, that would be the Cleveland Cavaliers. They had in the first 3, I just looked at it before the show, Zion Williamson going to the Knicks, Ja Morant going to the Suns, and RJ Barrett going to the Cleveland Cavaliers at 3, which I think would be a good pickup. I think he could help Colin Sexton and Jordan Clarkson out a little bit. That's just a team that just definitely needs to rebuild a lot. You know, obviously Zion Williamson going to the Knicks, that'll help that team tremendously. Ja Morant going to the Suns is interesting because he did play point guard at Murray State. And the Suns, if you guys know, have a notable point guard / shooting guard, but he's mostly the point guard there, in Devin Booker. So do they maybe move Booker to his more natural position as a 2 guard? And now you have Ja Morant running the offense, which how is that going to fare with Devin Booker, who likes to shoot a lot? So how, you know, I know Ja Morant's a really good passer, so maybe that turns into a Chris Paul, James Harden type of deal where Chris Paul is just handling the ball. James Harden's taking the majority of the shots. And now you have DeAndre Ayton, who is almost going to be like a Clint Capella that's going to grab the rebounds, score you 10 to 15 points a game, which if they were able to snag Ja Morant, I think it would be a step in the right direction for that Suns team, which has been terrible for the last 6, 7, 8 years. And there's really been no sense of direction as far as where this team is going. Speaking of college, on Monday, national title game, great national title game. Virginia beat Texas Tech in overtime. Jay Culver, the Texas Tech star, is projected to be a top 5 pick. It will be coming out of Texas Tech to play in the NBA. But the final score, 85-77, Virginia over Texas Tech. I know Texas Tech at one point had a 12-2 run. Patrick Mahomes was there. He was loving it. Obviously a Texas Tech alumni who won the MVP this last year in the NFL. So just a great, great game. Some notable stats from Texas Tech. Mooney, 10 points. Culver had 15 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. And Moretti had 15 points as well. Francis and Edwards both had 10-plus points off the bench. Francis had 17 points on 7 of 12 shooting. Edwards had 12 points on 4 of 5 shooting. So just the way their bench was able to play really helped them stay in this game. Nobody else really produced anything off the bench. And as far as starters goes, having 3 of your 5 guys in double figures really helped keep this team in a contention for that national title. But Virginia, just their defense was able to make stops when they could. Their offense was able to either match Texas Tech's offense point for point, shot for shot, or their defense was able to make shots. And on the other end, they were just able to go get an easy basket. Kyle Guy, 24 points, 8 of 15 shooting, 4 of 9 from 3-point, made all 4 of his free throws, Hunter, 27 points, 9 rebounds, 8 of 16 shooting, 4 of 5 from 3, 7 of 9 from his free throws. And Jerome, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 6 of 16 shooting. Nobody really off the bench, but when you have Kyle Guy, Hunter, and Jerome all playing like that, it's going to be really hard, especially with the defense that they play. I know they gave up 77 points, but that's an overtime, or that's including overtime. I believe in the first half it was a low-scoring game. It was 32-29, relatively low-scoring game. In the second half, did give up 39 points to Texas Tech, helped them get back in the game. They were on a 12-2 run, like I said. And then in overtime for those 5 minutes, just 9 points in 5 minutes. Their defense really came out to play, outscored them 17-9. And now Virginia is the odds-on favorite to repeat as champions next year. I think Duke had the second-best odds. Tennessee was on there. Villanova was on there. Obviously, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina. All the Blue Bloods were on there. But it was a great game on Monday. I mean, like I said, Virginia's defense was able to make stops when it needed to. Their offense was able to go shot for shot, point for point with Texas Tech's really great offense that they had this year. This is a team, Texas Tech, was picked to not even be relevant in the Big 12 in their conference, and yet they're all the way in the Final Four, 5 minutes away from a national title. So congratulations to Texas Tech. Congratulations on Virginia for winning their first national title in school history. You know, Texas Tech's going to be losing 4 seniors this year, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the recruiting class this year. As far as I know, right now they're not in the top 10 of recruiting classes. Obviously, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, they're going to be in the top 10. Tennessee was up there. They always seem to recruit good. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Texas Tech does, because they're going to have to try to find something or someone to replace Culver next year, because he will go into the draft. He will be at least a top 10 pick. If I remember correctly, he was a top 5 pick. I just don't remember what team he went to. But he will be in the NBA draft. Other guys going into the NBA draft, obviously, Cam Reddish, Zion Williamson, like I said before, Ja Morant declared, RJ Barrett. Trey Jones, the freshman from Duke, will stay for his sophomore year. He had his ups and downs throughout the year, needs to learn how to probably score a little bit more because his scoring was down this year. But as far as a passer goes, one of the better passers. I know he's going to work on his defense a little bit. Cabangeli, all you Florida State fans out there, he has declared for the draft. Kobe White from North Carolina, he declared for the draft. So it's going to be a really good draft. This is going to be one of the better drafts that the NBA has had in quite some time, as far as it's not just going to be 3-4 guys that are going to be able to be impact players for their teams going into year one or year two or year three. It's a pretty good, anybody picked in the lottery has a chance of being an all-star this year. And there's going to be some guys at the back end of the first round, even going into the second round, that are going to have a chance to really help their team succeed in the first couple of years as they're developing, as they're getting stronger, getting more knowledgeable of the game, sharpening their skills. So this is a really deep draft, one of the deeper drafts that, like I said, that we've had in a while. So we'll, you know, whoever comes out of the draft, we'll continue to recap on, you know, from there. But other than that, nobody big, quote unquote, big names have come out of the draft or come out of college as of yet. But like I said, Jay Culver did decide to declare, RJ Barrett declaring today, or he will declare later on today that he will be leaving college and going into the NBA, which I think the first 3 picks are going to be very interesting, especially how the lottery shapes up. Are the New York Knicks going to get that number one spot? You know, are the Suns going to get that number one spot again? You know, then you have the Cleveland Cavaliers, who seem like the last time they had a top three pick, always get the lottery and always win it, always get that number one pick. So it'll be interesting to see what goes on there. But that's really all the college basketball, all the NBA news I have. I know I went on a pretty long rant there about Magic Johnson, but it's just the answers that he gave, I know, to fans listening to it, probably watching it, you're kind of scratching your head like, huh? Like, did he really just say that he wanted to stop because he wasn't having fun and he wanted to go back to having fun? Like, you know, building a championship team, I know it takes a lot of work, but once you build that championship team and you're making it to the playoffs consistently, I would think that's fun. But that's just my mind. That's my, you know, NBA 2K mind, you know, going to the playoffs 5 years in a row with a team and, you know, you're having fun playing the game. But anyways, it is Wednesday, so Weird Stat Wednesday. I have a couple. One comes from the MLB. I think I have a couple. Yeah, I have a couple. Both come from the MLB. Bryce Harper, as everybody knows, is on the Phillies now. They were playing the Washington Nationals yesterday, which would be Tuesday. Bryce Harper, number one pick in 2010. Steven Strasburg, the number one pick in 2009. So, to put some context in there, Bryce Harper hit a home run off of Steven Strasburg. It is the first time in MLB history that a number one pick homered off of the number one pick from the previous draft. Which, just think about that. Really digest that. Two number one picks back to back. Now it is amazing that a number one pick from 1 year homered off of a number one pick from a previous year, but just think about that even more. Think about how hard it is for a number one pick to make it to the major leagues, and they've had a draft since 1963. You know, 1950s, 1960s. And this is the first time in MLB history that a number one pick homered off of a former number one pick. And just think about all the number one picks that your team has had. You know, as a Rays fan, you think of David Price, you think of Tim Beckham, you know, in back-to-back years, which would be cool because Tim Beckham plays, or they did play the Red Sox. I guess he just didn't hit a home run off of them. But, you know, think of all the number one picks that your team has had or that teams have had. This is the first time in MLB history. That just tells you how hard it is not only to get drafted number one, but to make it to the major leagues and have a successful career like Steven Strasburg and Bryce Harper are having. And it was just one of those things that I saw that, and it was really cool. It was really weird, and it was really fascinating that this is the first time it's happened, and we've had, you know, 60-plus years of the draft. So another one is that, and this is kind of sad the way you think, depending on how you think about it, but in 2019, the pitchers for the Milwaukee Brewers are slashing, and when I say slashing, it's average on-base percentage and slugging percentage for all you listeners out there that don't understand what slashing is in baseball. But the Brewers are slashing .353, that's their average, .421 on-base percentage, and .529, that's their slugging percentage, and that's, to put that in perspective, that's 6-for-17 with two walks and a home run. And in 23 at-bats, this was when Chris Davis was only at 23 at-bats, Chris Davis was hitless. So the Brewers pitching had six more hits in six less at-bats and has two more home runs, or excuse me, just one more home run than Chris Davis. The Brewers pitching staff is hitting better than Chris Davis, and I just thought that was a really weird stat and also kind of a sad stat for Chris Davis, who right now at this point is 0-for-47, first time in MLB history that has happened, dating back to last year for a position player. That's the longest hitless streak a position player has had, and they still owe him $96 million, which a lot of people are just focusing on the money, but, you know, as a baseball player, I understand how hard it is to get hits in this game, and my heart is just going out for Chris Davis because he does not deserve what is happening to him. You know, nobody really deserves what is happening to him, but just it is not good, and he is, you know, he's struggling. But as always, thank you for listening. If you want to listen to this podcast or other shows or other episodes, just follow us on Stitcher, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Just search up the Sports Access. We're on there. You want to follow us on Twitter? That's @_SportsAxis. Leave us a follow, a comment. I post all of our shows on that page, and I also retweet it with my own personal Twitter account. But as always, this is the Sports Access. Thank you for listening. I don't know if there's going to be a show on Friday, so just stay tuned if there is. If not, I hope you guys have a great weekend. We will see you again next week. This is Peter DeFee wishing you a great rest of your day.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sports.